Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we're Champion Chat 360.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. Today's going to be full of a whole bunch of madness, a whole bunch of babies, a whole bunch of, well, dogs. So we're taking the regular two moms and a baby. That could be the new name of the podcast, two moms and two babies. And we're going to times it by another one. So another mom and another baby. Because all of our children don't like to sleep. And you can hear them all in the background. But we have a serious, but also we'll make each other laugh story. And we have one of our favorite people on to talk about some issues. Maybe we'll talk a little mom stuff. Maybe we won't. But we're going to welcome back Bianca today. We're going to talk a little bit about some things she's been going through. But before we get into all of that, Danica, how are you today?
I'm doing good. There's a peanut butter literally everywhere. My dogs are in heaven right now. And it's totally fine. And usually I would be losing my crap right now because I didn't like when they lick places. But in my mind, I have to say, it's okay. They're cleaning for me.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter who just, I wish that people could see videos of what's happening, but she just had a sandwich and now she's doing circles. Like, she thinks that it's fun to make herself dizzy.
I usually get pulled and we get like that little area of our kitchen where we have room and I get spin. Spin.
Oh my God. Sienna does the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Because they're all so close in age. Oh, I'm good. I got, another day in paradise. It's mom life times trying to do a at home working person. You know, trying to live a life. No complaints though.
How are you, Bianca?
I'm okay. Cole's interrupting me. This is like true mom life chaos happening right now. I'm okay. I am frazzled. I am not feeling my best, which is kind of, what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. I got to say, overall, I can't complain. Life is good. Lots of blessings.
Too. It's funny because this is another thing we all have in common. Today we're going to talk about breast implant illness and what it is and what are some symptoms of it? What are some things that Bianca's learned through her research and everything else? So each of us have breast implants, and we probably have all different stories of it. Maybe even some different kind of, because we're all in different states that we ended up having it. All different doctors, yada, yada, yada. But we're going to talk about what's going on now. I think all of us are also right around that 10-year mark.
No, I'm actually only at 4 years.
Oh, interesting.
So mine are about 4.5.
Because Danica, how old are yours?
So I just looked back and mine are 6 years, a little over 6 years.
Oh, well, I'm the old lady here. So I guess that's why I'm the old lady who got them 10 years ago. So I'm supposed to be taking them out, but we'll talk about that kind of stuff later. This is not about me. Never mind. I am the old lady who's had them for too long.
No, well, I mean, as per the plastic surgeons and, the people putting them in, that's 10 years is around where they start to break down.
Yeah.
So which is based on zero evidence, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just probably a number. I'd be like, well, let's see, they probably paid it off in full by that time. It's another time to get more money out of them. Let's just say they break down at this time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, I feel. But it could be, I could just be a cynic.
Well, I'm in that club, so.
Sorry about the dog barking. So let's talk, without the joking, let's go into what breast implant illness is. So Bianca, we're going to let you kind of take it from there.
So breast implant illness is basically a term that's been used for any illnesses that are related to having breast implants. It's kind of like a broad term, and it's not something that has been like scientifically proven, in that no women with breast implants currently in them, like there's no tests, there's no way you can test somebody to say you have breast implant illness, because breast implant illness isn't an actual illness. It's basically a long list of illnesses that could be due to breast implants. So, for example, autoimmune disorders like Hashimoto's or any auto, you know, Sjogren's, is that how you pronounce it, disease, or, you know, fibromyalgia, connective tissue diseases, Epstein-Barr virus, Lyme disease. Like, there's just, like, a long list of diseases that are connected to breast implants. So, some women are not diagnosed with anything, whether it be because they don't have a specific diagnosis or because their doctors just haven't dug far enough for them to know exactly what they have. So, they just have basic general either immunocompromised type symptoms, like constantly getting infections, constantly getting bronchitis, constantly getting sick in general, or never really fully getting rid of that sinus infection. Some women experience more autoimmune type symptoms, so nerve pain, joint pain, hip pain, like a lupus rash, you know, those types of things. So the spectrum of what breast implant illness is so wide and so vast that a lot of people have, I guess, talked against it. That's been, like, I guess, one of, like, the strong, that's been one of the strong points of women talking against it, is the fact that they say, well, this list is so comprehensive and it's so long that anybody can look at it and say that there's a symptom that they have off of it. But that's the point. It's just that everybody's body could possibly be responding to these implants differently. Mm-hmm. So if you take my case, for example, I don't have a lot of autoimmune type symptoms. My thyroid is fine. My hormones are, except for my adrenals, but my hormones are pretty much fine. I'm having a major immunologic response. So I'm, like, sick all the time. Like, I have a fever all the time. It's like I have the flu every day for 7 or 8 months now. So it's hard to say how one person's body will respond if, in fact, you are sick from your breast implants. Mm-hmm. That's why the list is so long, because, again, there's not just one way that a woman's body will react to them.
So I know we were all talking about it in a text and talking about how it's like watching the show House with this diagnosis or this disease, because there's so many things that could be going wrong and we don't know what's stemming it. It could be this issue or this issue. And a lot of people, a lot of females, I mean, maybe there are men who have breast implants, I don't know, but let's just say mostly females are having to deal with this, and they're getting some backlash, and it's almost like, how dare you question someone, how they feel? But that's me getting my, like, kind of, like, mama bear up. But let's talk about your journey, Bianca, about how you got from basically where you're going to what started you down this road to taking this step. Because I know that you're a little nervous about it, but because you feel like, what if, or it's a big step. And I think it's important for people to understand that it's okay to see what's going on and understand that life, you need to kind of find a place that feels good for you. And this is how you doing this is a great step forward for people to understand it.
Basically, for me, I won't lie, before I even felt, like, actually sick, I had this, like, gut feeling that my boobs had to go. Like, something about them felt like they didn't belong in me. They never felt a part of my body. I never felt like I owned having them. I got them kind of, like, impulsively for reasons that I could justify by saying all these reasons why I got them. In the end, it was for vanity purposes, and I'm not gonna, like, sit here and try to be like, oh, it was because of whatever, some, like, self-righteous reason. It was for the reason anybody gets fake boobs, yeah. You know? So, but I just never fully, I don't know, I just had this lingering feeling that, like, something wasn't right with them. I can't even explain it. And I had even expressed that to my husband. I remember having a conversation with my sister-in-law about it and another girlfriend of mine, like, very random, weird conversations. And again, like, at the time, now looking back, I can point to symptoms I was having that were bizarre. Like, maybe within the year before I got pregnant, maybe it was even a little bit longer than that. Maybe it was, like, a year and a half before, I started getting, like, my periods, like, 2 to 3 weeks apart from each other. So I felt like I was always having a freaking period. I can curse on here, can I?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Okay, I was about to jump. I know, I forgot. I'm sorry. So every few weeks I was having a fucking period. And that was, like, weird. It's like my hormones were a little off. I started getting weird, like, hair breakage and hair loss. Not, like, major, but, like, certain spots of my hair was just breaking. And it looked like I cut, like, layers when I didn't. And it was just, like, weird things that back then I didn't think anything of. And I think could have been maybe my body starting to, like, have some kind of symptomology. And then I got pregnant. And I mean... was having symptoms, but of weird things, but I was pregnant, so I didn't think anything of it. But that's around the time when I started hearing about breast implant illness. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a thing where I was like, wow, that's interesting. And I had this feeling that, like, I didn't want my boobs in me anymore, but I was kind of like, well, their story isn't my story, though. I feel fine. But, you know, as time went on, postpartum, whatever, I started having more symptoms, whereas I felt like something wasn't right, but everyone kept saying to me, oh, well, you just had a baby and you're not sleeping and you're breastfeeding and you have anxiety, because I did struggle with horrific postpartum anxiety. So I was just like, maybe they're right, you know, like I kind of like just believed what everybody around me was saying, that I was just kind of like maybe losing my mind a little bit, and I kept putting it out of my head. But the whole concept of breast implant illness kept coming back to me. Mm-hmm. And then this year, I got sicker than I've ever been in my entire life. I'm not going to get into, like, full details. I did write a blog about it, if anyone is interested in, like, reading the full story about, like, what happened when I got sick. But, I mean, I thought I was literally on my deathbed. That's how bad it was. I was in bed for, like, about a full month, unable to stand. I, like, couldn't even hold water in my body. Like, it was really scary. So that was at the point when I'm one of those people, I could be next to somebody with pneumonia and I don't even get the sniffles, you know? Like, I've always been just one of those people with, like, a rock solid immune system, never got sick. And all of a sudden here I am now, like, literally, like, almost, like, freaking died, it felt like. Mm-hmm. You know, as time went on, and, you know, 3 weeks later, I still had, like, a 101 fever and still, like, you know, I was getting oral thrush, like, things that just really are indicative of a severely compromised immune system. So, you know, I just started digging and looking for answers, and eventually found out, you know, that I had a reactivated case of Epstein-Barr virus, which I think was probably triggered by a worse virus I probably had, or it could have been activated long before that. Even maybe it was reactivated through pregnancy or whatever. But point of the matter is a virus like Epstein-Barr virus, it lives dormant in pretty much everyone. Like 96% of adults, 95-96% have Epstein-Barr virus, but it's dormant in your body. So just like with a lot of things, they can creep out, you know, they crop up when your body is that immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. Basically, long story short, here I am after being treated for months, going like literally to the ends of the earth, trying to find doctors and specialists and naturopaths and like every alternative method you could name, every kind of treatment you could name to try to get this virus under control. And my numbers have not budged. And for the normal person, if you get a reactivation of Epstein-Barr virus, usually there's a certain, it's called your IgM. It's an antibody numbers. One of the numbers in the antibody test that you would get to see if you are active for Epstein-Barr virus, the IgM shows that you are currently active. And my doctor told me that typically people are like positive their IgM for like 4 weeks. Like if it's positive for 2 months, then, you know, that's like a little bit abnormal. So I've been positive now for almost 8 months, which is like very alarming, and it's completely an anomaly. And she basically said to me, something is keeping you sick, you know, because even as time went on, first thing I always said to these doctors, could it be my implants? Could it be my implants? And they all said it could be, but let's do this first and see how your body responds. It could be, but now let's try this. It could be, but now let's try this. So I feel like we turned every stone over to try to see what could help get my body to heal from these like wonky things, because Epstein-Barr is like the main thing I have going on, but there were other like little things also that were just like not right. Mm-hmm. And my body's just not responding. So now it's at the point where they tested me for literally everything. There's nothing medically that justifies why I'm still sick, other than the fact that I have two foreign bags made of like 40 neurotoxic endocrine disrupting chemicals sitting over my vital organs. So, and I don't say that in a mean way to scare anybody about like what's in your body, but it's the reality of what is in our bodies. And, you know, people say, oh, it's just silicone, it's just saline, they're safe. You might not react to them. People's bodies may not react to them. You may not get sick from them, but that still doesn't change the fact that they are highly toxic materials inside of your body. So for me at this point, I'm like, I'm at the end of my rope. I've got no other cards to play, you know? And so a lot of people think also right now, breast implant illness is this like trending thing that mm-hmm. people just like get surgery. And like for me, I did everything to try to avoid being in this spot, not because I wanted to keep my implants. Like I already had it in my mind that when it did come time to get them redone, because they do have a shelf life, that I would just opt for like a lift and get them taken out. Mm-hmm. And hoping that would be after I had kids and I would just be done with it. I did not plan on only 4 years after getting them to be getting them out. And I literally tried to do everything to see if it was something else that could help me. And I've literally, nothing's worked. So that's how I got to where I am at this point. I basically have, I don't have any other options, which is scary.
Absolutely. It is so awesome that you talked about, like, you have done so much. Like, you've already turned over so many stones and have explored so many different things, rather than just self-diagnosing immediately based on symptoms.
Do you know what? I honestly can't imagine anybody
right.
doing that. Like, this is costly. It's scary. Yeah. It's invasive surgery. I'm surely going to look worse afterwards. Like, you know, if we're talking about, like, you know, the societal, like, image of what beautiful breasts are, like, my boobs won't be that anymore. So it's like, why anyone would just self-diagnose and say, oh, I think I need my implants out. I don't think there's anybody that actually does that. Although I will say there are some women that I've come across that just because their ideologies are so strong as far as like holistic living and being healthy and being natural and organic and holistic and all that kind of stuff, that they've opted to get them out purely because of what they've learned about them. Yeah. So for me, that's pretty badass. That's like, wow, your convictions are that strong about that type of lifestyle that you've chosen to just get them out. But that percentage of women who are getting explant is so small. And mostly these people are in the same boat as me, where it's like, you literally have nothing else to do at this point other than to look at that as an option, you know?
Right.
Which is scary, because then, you know, and I've been speaking to you guys about this, it's like, well, what if this is not it, you know? Like, what if this is not the thing that helps me? And then it's like, well, that, then what the hell do I do? So, and you know, trying not to think about that.
You turn over another stone in this situation, so I get to look at it from the outside. On the outside, thinking it's a very expensive and very invasive thing, but at least you know that if this doesn't work, quote unquote, that there's something else you can do. I mean, House has a TV show for a reason.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, I feel, I mean, granted, you know, cross that bridge if I get there, mm-hmm. but the, you know, I'm at this point because, like, you know, the doctors are literally, like, there's literally nothing to do, especially for something that's viral. It's like, I've gone through every type of treatment process that one could go through to try to get this under control, mm-hmm. from supplements, medication, diet, lifestyle. I mean, I could give you a list that literally is, like, it's like, it can make your head spin. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, but listen, my plan is to get these out. My plan is to repeat a lot of what I had already done and see what happens. But I will say that I've had some incredibly uplifting messages from women who have been literally in the exact same situation as me, who said that within like 6 weeks, their Epstein-Barr titers went back down to normal. People reversed autoimmune, you know, positive autoimmune numbers. So I'm definitely hopeful. I will say that much. As much as I'm anxious, I'm definitely hopeful. And I feel like my gut has been pointing me in this direction long before I ever got this sick. So,
yeah. That, like, speaks volumes. I think that not too many people are key or like tuned in to their intuition or that gut feeling. I mean, you have to listen to that, and it definitely, clearly, I think that you are a very intuitive person. So having these feelings even prior to all of the like medical issues that you've had happening, that says something.
Danica, why did you get breast implants?
I got breast implants because I literally had no, like, inverted boobs. Mm-hmm. Like, I had inverted chest and a bubble butt, and it didn't match. And I was always, like, I felt like I looked like a 12-year-old, and I think I had always wanted boobs. Like, I always wanted them growing up, and that's why, because I got them, I did get them, like, prior to, or after doing a couple of shows, and obviously seeing some other people, but it wasn't until my best friend had them done, where I was like, oh, these are actually, these are something, like, she was fine at the time, and it wasn't that big of a deal, as much of a deal as I thought it would be, and so that's why I got them. But, and I don't know if, like, everybody knows that I've been going through a lot of really things. I've talked about it on the podcast, and breast implant illness is something that has been heavy on my mind. And I've reached out to Bianca. Tell me about what you're going through. And, like, theory. First off, nobody wants to be sick. Like, nobody wants to be sick. And then on top of that, thinking, like, racking your brain and thinking it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. And then you go and you treat those things, and then nothing gets better. Nothing gets better. And you're like, what am I doing? Like, I'm daily basis, I probably will get emotional. So I apologize. On a daily basis, I am doing things to help myself to get better, and nothing is working. And it's so annoying, because you want to be a vibrant, lively person, because deep in your soul, that's who you are. And you want to be a good mommy, and you want to be present, and you want to be able to play with your child, and you want to be good to your husband, and you want to be active. And then to, like, just feel like shit, like, that sucks, like, and to not know, and then to hear about breast implant illness and to think, shit, like, could it be that? Like, is that something that is possible? Like, I give you so much credit, Bianca, because you've been dealing with a lot of this stuff way longer than I've felt symptoms. And to literally, like, be, I think you said it as, I've been an A++ student with everything that I've been given. And because I asked you, have you looked at, like, diet, exercise, sleep patterns? Like, have you looked at everything else prior, and how long have you been focusing on that stuff? And you have. Like, you've already covered all your bases.
Yeah, and, like, I had the doctor that I was working with, she's, like, a holistic-based functional medicine doctor. So she doesn't look at, like, take this supplement. She doesn't look at just eat this food. She looks at your whole body as it works as, like, a functional whole. Definitely. So literally, like, down to, like, every last detail. For, I was on probably for 3 months, was, like, a really, really strict protocol, maybe a little longer than that. And, you know, to see not anything improve, and that's not to say that that's when I started trying to, like, do things to help myself. Like, before that I did the medical mediums protocol, and before that I did this, and it was, like, it's literally been seven full months of just spinning my wheels and getting nowhere and getting to the point. I feel like at the point you're at, like, I'm all cried out at this point. Like, I feel like at this point, I'm, like, numb to the experience, because it's just, like, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other, because, like, I have no, like, the devastation. It's, like, I'm at a point now where I'm not getting devastated anymore. I'm expecting it's not going to change. So it's almost like I'm just, it's almost like I've learned to live through feeling horrible every day. I've learned to push through it. I've learned not to expect that I'm turning a corner if I have a good day. And I gotta say, like, as sad as that is, it's been easier to cope with because I'm able to just, like, get through the day and be there for my daughter as best I can and, you know, show up to things and because I'm not expecting anything of myself and my body. But then it like, puts a heavier weight on this process of explant because it's like, you know, I can't imagine then the devastation of going through that, thinking that, okay, maybe this is now finding my answer, and then it's not. But that's what's scary about the whole thing, you know? It's like, you can research until you're blue in the face. You can go to doctors until you're blue in the face. There are some doctors that are definitely recognizing this as an issue. I have a girlfriend who has been bouncing back and forth between doctors for crazy weird symptoms that have only showed up since she had implants. And she went to see actually a neurosurgeon yesterday that the first question he asked her was, she almost like shit her pants because she has been looking, you know, she's been looking into this and thinking maybe it is her implants. But the neurosurgeon, like a freaking like really big neurosurgeon, first thing he says to her is, did these symptoms show up before or after you had breast implants? And she said after. He says, I would look into that before making any steps further to, like, you know, looking into a rheumatologist and neuros people and whatever, which is, like, crazy that that was the advice she got. So it's, like, it's starting to be recognized based on more of an anecdotal basis because that's really all we have so far. But, like, and that to me, I guess, was the point that pushed me from should I do this to I have to do this. There's, you know, I can't be speaking about this without talking about the Facebook group. There's a Facebook group called Breast Implant Illness Healing by Nicole. There are about 52,000 women in this group at this point, 52,000 women from all over the world that are experiencing or have experienced breast implant illness. And the most powerful stories in that group are the women who did explant and the difference that they felt and saw literally overnight. Women that were able to reverse autoimmune disorders and heal from crazy illnesses that any conventional doctor would tell you is a lifelong sentence, that these women literally completely healed themselves. I know some of them, you also have to look at pre-existing conditions, like, you know, did somebody have, like, this condition or symptoms of that condition before implants? So it's like, you know, you can't expect that this is going to, like, you know, completely negate genetics or predispositions to certain things. And some things, you know, you get too far gone. You know, there's women in that group that have had implants for 20 years and they're at a point where they're not going to reverse certain things. But, you know, even if it's just a matter of their digestive issues healed, their gut health healed, their skin is brighter, their eyes aren't swollen and puffy every day, they don't feel like they have a vice around their forehead. Like, just certain, it's like, that to me was, like, after seeing literally thousands and thousands of stories that look just like mine, and seeing these women, and connecting with them, and befriending them on Facebook, and following their personal stories, and then to see once they got onto the other side how much they improved. I mean, you see it on, like, Instagram every single day. I feel like there's a new person coming out about how they explanted. And then in the, like, days and weeks to follow, you see just how much better they're feeling. You know, it's one of those things that, like, anecdotally, it's, like, undeniable at this point that this is a major, major issue. That's what pushed me to the point where I'm at now is all the other women.
So if you're someone that's kind of going through this and you already have breast implants, we'll link that group in the notes. And then obviously we'll link Bianca's information here too. One thing I kind of wanted to talk about was the why we all got them. And now that we're on the other side of this fence and, you know, you guys are both having some of these issues and we're older now by ever many years, which I'll probably stop saying now because it's a little bit, after hearing this, I might feel a little bit not responsible, like for me to say it. Like, I used to always say, it was the best decision I ever made. And now I feel like an asshole saying that because it could really hurt someone's life or change someone's life in a negative.
But I still feel like, so about that, so I am in a stance now where I think that there is no safe implant. I am, like, anti-implant. Mm-hmm. However, I feel that if you had a positive experience with it, you should be allowed to have that positive experience. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, And that's something that people have to be open-minded about. Not only people have to be open-minded that this is a reality, people also have to be open-minded that for whatever reason, there are tons of women that just don't have symptoms, or maybe they won't for a very long time, mm-hmm. you know? So, right. you know, some of the women in this Facebook group, it took them 20, 30 years before all of a sudden their health deteriorated. And at first they thought, oh, I'm getting older. I'm in my late 50s. I'm in my 60s. But again, you know, a lot of them explant and feel better. So it's like, it could be a time thing, or it could just be that your body just fares a-okay with a foreign object. And so I feel like at the same time, like, I think that people with implants that don't have symptoms shouldn't have to feel like now they should be like regretting or like being irresponsible. Right. I think that the conversation just has to be left open as far as what the realities are, what the risks are. So people are making a more informed decision for themselves. Like if somebody hears all the information there is at this point now, or what will continue to develop about breast implants and says, you know what, it's worth the risk for me. Like, then that's a good decision. But for me, I didn't know even half of the stuff that I know now. So it's right. like, maybe my mind would have been changed back then, you know? There's been, like, a type of lymphoma that is specifically tied to gel silicone-textured implants. It's called BIALCL, and it's a rare lymphoma, but it is just for those textured implant ladies. And it's like, so that's one of those things where it's like, would you sit there and opt to get a textured implant? Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like there needs to be more. Like, I was never told that. I mean, well, my primary care physician, when I was talking to him about this the other day, because he was clearing me for surgery, and this is the first time I had a conversation with him about any of this, because I've just been being seen by this alternative doctor. He was like, I said, do you think it could be my implants? And he's like, absolutely. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, well, of course. And as I started talking to him about the lymphoma and whatever, he's like, oh, this is information that we've had in the medical community for years. And I'm like, what? Like, how have you, like, why are we not told these things? And he was like, he goes, it's $1 billion industry, you know, what do you expect? And I was just like sickened by that, you know, but that's the reality. So I feel like people, if you love your boobs and you love your implants, you're allowed to love them. Yeah. But I feel like people just need to be more informed in making that decision for themselves. And like, if you know the risks at this point, but you feel good and you still feel comfortable with them in, then that's great. You know, as long as that people are just aware of all the different sides of it.
I kind of wish that we could figure out a way to help even the younger us. Like, again, I have no issues with mine, but mine are a little older. So I think mine were before the textured ones. I remember the doctor saying these are what are new, and I didn't get those ones. But I didn't get the
gummy bear.
Yeah, the gummy bear. I didn't get the gummy bear ones. I got the ones literally just before them. That's why I feel maybe for me right now, I don't have symptoms. But like you were saying, maybe they'll come later, which could be.
But the gummy bear is either smooth or textured.
Yeah. Is both.
Yeah. Well, let me say I didn't have the textured. My bag isn't textured. It's just regular smooth, which I know the texture one. And I watched a couple of the videos that you have linked in your stories, Bianca. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. Like, obviously this is a textured thing. It's going to be flaky and it could cause more problems. But one of the things I kind of want to see if we can help people who may be on the fence of wanting them. And what are some advice for someone before they go in, just mental stuff. So if you were a young ex, for me, I was 25 years old. What's something you would say to young you without the science behind it?
Well, that's hard because I feel like the science is such a big part of the equation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think risk is a major factor. So I feel like I would want my younger self to know all the risks. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, I mean, I'm at this point really having to like learn to love my body in its natural form, which part of me, like, again, I feel like although I had them and I love the way that they look, it's like I never really identified with them. And part of me was like, I feel like, why couldn't I have just been okay with my natural body, you
that's
know?
What so that's what I'm kind of saying. It's like,
yeah, I would 100% go back to that person and my old self and try to convince myself, like, you don't need these. These don't do anything for you. Mm-hmm. But I do think, though, that there is a reality of it, them making women feel more attractive and more seductive and sexy and feminine, and you know, a lot of women don't get them and then realize, oh crap, I don't like them. Some do, but a lot of women do like how they look after they get them. So I think I would definitely also try to educate my younger self on more, I guess, information about, like, the lies that were fed as far as, like, what constitutes a beautiful body or a feminine body, and those concepts, even though, like, I was in a healthy phase of my life at that point where, like, I wasn't struggling with an eating disorder or whatever, but I still drank Kool-Aid as far as, like, what makes a woman's body a sexy body, you know? And I wish that I could go back and teach myself what, like, the fact and fiction of what that actually means, because I was not aware. I love myself a little bit more.
And that's kind of what I'm trying to get to, because especially now, I mean, we're all in our 30s, so I mean, we all kind of feel that the pressure of social media in a different way than probably your, like, I'll just say 25-year-old Christy didn't have to worry about social media as much, because there was barely Facebook when I was, I was 25. So looking at these 25-year-olds who are now having to, you know, compete with the Instagram models and everything else for their self-worth and using them, their images a lot more, and then thinking like breast implants and stuff. And you can't, I mean, a lot of people can build a butt or they can get butt implants too, but it's hard to build a chest to feel sexy. And we all three of us have little girls, and this is going to get a little like sappy for me, but I wonder, like, how can I make this little girl not have those issues?
I hear ya. You know, I think about that a lot as well, you know, and thinking, you know, even with me, with my implants, I'm kind of representing what that beauty standard is by just existing as I am right now in front of her, her seeing my shape, and, I mean, they idolize us, you know, and that's something I think about. But just in all aspects, it's like, what's the recipe to help them to feel confident about exactly how they are? And it's tough, man. I don't know the answers to that.
Right, if we did, we would have probably not taken those breast pads in the first place.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a crazy life, and I think as you get older, I guess the good thing is that you can always take them out and hopefully, like you're saying, that the symptoms go away and that it's not permanent, that it's something that you can change. Like, even you can get a tattoo removed, whatever, but we have so much growth that we go through in 10 years, in 4 years, in 6 years, that I feel like sometimes if we can just put the brakes on our decisions and try to look forward, it might really help us feel happier at that point.
I love that mindset, and I've actually thought that to myself, even as far as getting tattoos or anything. I feel like our culture is so fixated on that immediate gratification, you know?
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to what we look like, when you were bringing up before about what young girls, growing up in the age of, like, social media, it's like, if you go on Snapchat, there is now, like, let's say there's 15 filters, 14 of them are things that make you look like you have your chin reduced, a thinner face, bigger eyes, Kardashian eyebrows, plumper lips, smooth skin. It's like we are so set up to just constantly be up against these, like, unrealistic types of images. So there's, like, you know, forget breast implants. You got girls that are not even 20 getting Botox as preventative beauty. It's like, which is not preventing anything. It's working against your body's muscles being able to, like, function properly. Yeah, and it's like, it's just like there's so many things now that's starting so much earlier that it's like we are getting farther and farther away from being real And it's like in all aspects. It's our beauty. It's our food. It's everything. It's just such a big problem. And it's like one day at a time. You do one thing at a time as far as like what you could do, you know. And for me today, or next week rather, a week from today, it'll be taking these things out. So, you know, and I think that I'm at a point where I'm not going to regret the decision either way. Because of these things that, like you mentioned, like because of my daughter, because of, you know, just feeling like I'm at a point in my life where I don't need them to believe that my body is beautiful or sexual or hot. You know, I'm going to feel, and I'm confident that even though I, of course, have that fear of like, what are they going to look like? Right. I'm going to own that no matter what. So I feel like I'm at a point in my life where they don't align with who I am anymore, so I'm okay parting ways with them, even if that doesn't heal me. It's just crazy.
And I think maybe that's, like, a good takeaway, too, is being able to be intuitive or listen to yourself and do things through, make decisions in your life that align with who you ultimately want to be, that you really feel speaks to you as an individual. And what's tough is that the younger generation may not necessarily know who they are, and they're searching for it, right? So we try things and we experiment and we go for things. And I remember being with a client that I worked with she was a junior in high school, and I trained her all the way until she was 24. So, and I got to watch it. Like, I got to watch her go get a bunch of tattoos, go get a bunch of piercings, want to be like a badass emo chick, and then all of a sudden get hair extensions, take all of her tattoos like off of her, take away, like she didn't really know what aligned with her. But there are moments of clarity in our life where we are able to say, this doesn't feel like it aligns with my soul and who I ultimately want to be. And to be able to make that decision regardless of outside influences is really important. And we should listen to those moments and then go forth with action to make those decisions.
I know we all have to kind of get going, and we have tiny humans that are running around like rampant.
Mine is putting on, did you guys see what mine just put on her shoes? And her life vest. Apparently, we're
going swimming. Mine has been eating syrup, literally just syrup, the entire time we've been talking, and that's the only way that she's been not screaming. I made her like healthy pancakes and syrup, and she just stuck her hand and licked her hand, and the pancakes were untouched. So
amazing.
I mean, it all works.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So any last things you want to kind of say about this issue, anyone?
I would like to say that if you are curious about breast implant illness, even if it's the kind of thing where you're like, I don't know if that's what I have, but something about it resonates in you, the thing that I would say is just be informed. Don't be afraid to do the research. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Inform yourself. I think that the best resource out there is that Facebook group. In that group, if you do join, it's females only, by the way, so you can't be a guy and go into it. I'm sorry. But if you go in there, there are group files, which there is literally enough research and articles and statements made by doctors. Like, files upon files literally will take like a week's worth of reading material for you to find if you just want to learn more about this, about, you know, studies having to do with certain particles inside of the implants that are inside of your body. Just literally anything you need is there. So I think you should inform yourself and then move forward based on how you feel. But don't be afraid to at least just get information, because I think a lot of people are afraid to get information thinking that then they'll feel, I don't know, like all of a sudden that means that they're getting an explant. It doesn't mean anything. It's just good to educate yourself.
The more you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Put a little bow on this all, and we'll end with what we always end with, which is, what are you thankful for? But before that, we do want to wish you all the good luck and all the good wishes, Bianca.
Thank you so much.
Into this next week. And, you know, like a peace. We wish you peace.
Thank you.
Like, that's the thing that I think
the biggest thing. That's the best thing you could wish for me. I appreciate that.
So why don't you start with, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for the resources that led me to this step, because I really do believe in my gut that this is what I am, what I am meant to do. So that's what I'm grateful for. Grateful for the women who have shared their stories that got me to this point.
We are tribes. We do need someone to go first, unfortunately.
Hell yeah.
Janica?
I'm sorry if you hear screaming in the background. She's really upset right now. But I am very grateful for Bianca. I don't know how you came into our life, but... And I think I said this in, like, the very beginning, but for some reason I feel like you're my soul sister. And
I love you guys.
Our lives very much are parallel, and people come into your world for a reason, and things that you have, and I've learned so much through just following you and listening to you and talking to you, and I'm very grateful for you as an individual and all that you are sharing with the world right now.
Thank you. That means so much. I love both you guys.
Oh, let's see. I'll end with, I'm grateful for the ability to have this communication. So again, a little bit of the acknowledgement, but so we were kind of we were just saying how hard it is to have social media, but without social media, one, the three of us would not really pretty much be talking, because we are using a social media app to use this call, and two, we would never have met, and, you know, you would never get into this Facebook group. So the good thing about society today is the ability to communicate and to be the tribe, even though the tribe is so big. And it's not as, like, one-on-one personal, it is still able to be there. So, you know, just sisters supporting sisters, we'll say.
I'm into that.
Excellent. So, yeah. Bianca, why don't you tell us your blog again?
My blog is newlyfit.com/blog.
Excellent. And you can reach us at champagnechat360@gmail.com. We'll put the Facebook group that Bianca talked about, her blog, and everything else in the notes for you. So if you didn't catch that real quick, you can just scroll up and then look at the show notes. We hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.